The reading today is Genesis 3, 1 through 19. And now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We ate many of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband. He was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. And they heard a sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where art thou?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who have told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commandeth you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the woman, 'What is it? What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent tricked me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you amongst all animals and amongst all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat in all the days of your life. And I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike off your head, and he will strike his heel.' The woman," he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs of childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, and yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commandeth you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In your toil you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth you, and you shall eat the plants of the fields. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust."
Thank you, Jake. This is the first Sunday of Lent, and it is always led by one of the stories of temptation. The gospel text is the temptation of Jesus, and Adam and Eve is the Hebrew scripture text. You may or may not remember, but I preached on this text when I first got here. And if you don't remember that, that's okay. I barely remember it as well. But what I argued in that time was that I believed that the sin of Adam and Eve was not that they ate a particular piece of fruit, but they listened to the wrong voice. They listened to a voice of the serpent that's constantly talking to us. It's a voice of never enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not thin enough. You're not strong enough. It's the voice of deprivation. And I always hear that serpent talking when I hear someone say, "Oh, I am so stupid." It's the voice of the serpent. "I tripped and fell. I ruined everything." It's the voice of the serpent. When I was in seminary, our pastoral counseling professor was the coolest guy in the world. He was from Georgia, and he had a mustache and gray hair. He looked like Mark Twain. And he was a wise, wise man. And I was sitting with him in the cafeteria, and there were some people with us. They had their children, and the children were messing around. They were trying to get them to calm down and We were all trying to impress this professor, and pretty soon one of the kids spilled their milk and it went all over the professor. The parents were humiliated and they were getting ready to yell at their kids, and my professor said, "It's okay. We all spill milk. We all spill milk." When I looked at the text this time, what struck me about the text was not what Adam and Eve did, but the result of that is that they hid. They hid, and that's about shame. We live in a shame-driven society, and we are constantly trying to deal with that shame, cover it up, pretend it doesn't exist. We are the most overweight, over-addicted, overly prescribed, most in-debt society that the world has ever produced. And that's about shame. That's about trying to cover up shame. And I think that we all hide in different ways, trying to cover up our shame. And we're really, really smart about how we do that, how we hide. Technology is one of the ways in which we hide. Go out any place, coffee shop, restaurant, and there will be someone with someone else, and they'll be on their phone ignoring that other person. Coca-Cola has a commercial, and you know those hoods that they put around dogs when they come back from the vet? They have those on people. And the thing is that when the people look down, they can see their own children, but they can't see their phone. We hide in technology because we can't deal with our own woundedness. I was the guy who was not going to get a cell phone because I work for hospice. And people don't have the good sense to die between 9 and 5. And the other day, I was upstairs in my office. I had KOSU playing on the computer. Facebook was on my iPad. My phone was out. And I was looking something up on Google. We hide in our technology so we don't have to look at our woundedness and we don't have to deal with our shame. Another place we hide, perfectionism. Perfectionism. Where there is perfection, I guarantee you there is shame. Because here's the story of perfectionism. It says, if I drive the right car, if I look a particular way, if I live in the right part of town, if my house is perfectly clean, then I will get validation from you, and you will admire me. But it's all about getting validation from outside rather than inside. Does that make sense? God always calls us out of our shame to look at the woundedness that we all have. Every single person in this room is wounded. So rather than going to that door to open it up and try to bring about healing, we lock the door and we do everything to keep people from that door, including ourselves. And when we hide in shame, we don't show up for God, and we can't show up for each other, and we can't show up for ourselves. That's what addiction is about. Numbing ourselves so that we don't have to look at our pain. Numbing ourselves so we don't have to look at our pain. But when we numb ourselves to keep from hurting, we also necessarily numb joy, love, peace. You can't self-select what you're going to numb. So I think that God is calling us to come out of the shadow. And to question that voice, who told you you were naked? Question that voice of shame. When I left for college, my dad was a rageaholic and an alcoholic. And I almost didn't go to college because I felt like I was leaving my little brother in the clutches of my dad. I was telling my friend that, and she goes, "Have you ever talked to your brother about that?" And I said, no. And she goes, you might want to check that story out. So he called me the other day out of the blue and was being chatty Cathy. And I go, Bruce, need to ask you a real important question. And I go, did you feel like I abandoned you? And he goes, no. In fact, if you hadn't gone to college, you're the first person in our family to go. I don't think I would have had the courage to go. I had been living with that guilt for 30 years. Guilt of a story that I created that didn't even exist. So I invite you to ask the questions of the woundedness and shame, because it may not even be true. It may be a lie. So I would encourage you to think about your woundedness, to ask God to bring healers to you. Because what this church needs is we need healers. We need people who have worked on their spiritual stuff and help heal the world. I personally think that our country is in a state of PTSD. Look at the symptoms and look at how our country acts. I think if you watch the Congress and we all get frustrated at them, but I think that's a symbol. I think that's a symbol of a spiritual illness that's going on. And think about Oklahoma City. We've had 9/11, the bombing of the federal building, the tornadoes, and all the lost staff you had. We need healers in this church. I need you to do your spiritual work. Ask God, where are the healers, God? And help me be a healer. And here's the really cool thing. When you look at the pain in your life, and you start working on healing it, then you can make that pain sacred. You can offer it to God and ask that it be made sacred, and it will make you a more compassionate, loving person. There is a way to come out of our hiding, and it's gratitude. Gratitude is one of the things that heals shame, purposefully working on gratitude. So I had a little meltdown on Friday. I was missing my dog and saw a dog that looked like him, just totally fell apart. And I'm trying to put myself back together. And I thought, why is this happening? And I thought, you know, Force, you have another dog at home. And she's just waiting for you to come home. So I left the office early. I went home and I spent that time with my other dog. And she sensed something was going on because she didn't let me out of her sight for the rest of the day. Gratitude is the thing. It's not an attitude of gratitude, but it's perfect. It's working on it every single day. Working on, thank you, God, for this child. Thank you, God, for this friend. Thank you. Purposefully doing it. And I guarantee you, the more you do it, the more you see that you have. The more that you see that you have, because you start paying attention to life. So I invite you to stop hiding from God, to stop hiding from each other, to stop hiding from yourselves, to pray for courage to look at the woundedness in your life, to seek healers for that and offer it to God. And as we do that, God calls us by name and calls us to live in peace and love with one another. Think about it.